Welcome to Donnell Edwards Viewpoints. I'm your host, Donnell Edwards. Our topic for this evening is the secret to better time management and a happier life. Our guests are author and coach Sherilyn Pang Luki and author and coach Mitzi Weinman. Sherilyn Pang Luki is a speaker, trainer, and coach. Sherilyn is also a number one best-selling author and the founder of PresentParentTraining.com. Her core focus is replacing stress and punishments with play and planning to create empowered families. Her book, The Mommy Advantage, How Having Kids Can Make You Happier, Healthier, and Wealthier, reveals how to use personal development techniques to transform the challenges of parenthood into growth and fulfillment. Her partner, Mitzi Weinman, is an author, speaker, leader, and coach. Mitzi is founder of Time Finder and author of It's About Time, Transforming Chaos into Calm, A to Z. As a coach, workshop leader, and professional speaker, she provides practical approaches to personal productivity, reducing the stress of procrastination and overwhelm. She has a bachelor's degree from the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Welcome both of you, Sherilyn and Mitzi, to Donnell Edwards Viewpoints.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we begin tonight's show, today has been, yesterday was a tragic day in our history. And right now, last count, there were 59 dead and 527 injured in the most deadly shooting in modern U.S. history in Las Vegas, Nevada. So our prayers go out to all of those who lost loved ones, as well as those who were injured. And we really regret that something like this has happened. And most of us have strong feelings about guns one way or the other. But right now, hopefully we can all come together in unity and in prayer for those who have died and for their families and for those who were injured and are still fighting for their lives. Mm-hmm. So if you have any comments on that, Sherilyn or Mitzi, feel free to.
I think you said it perfectly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay. And, so many people have been impacted that we just recognize that there's a tremendous need for life skills education to be taught proactively so that we can avoid headlines like that.
So true. So we'll go ahead and start our program. And right now, as coaches, both Mr. Luki and Ms. Weinman comprise the Getting to Done team on YahThatGame.com. Now, please tell our audience just what YahThatGame is and about your program, Getting to Done. Missy, why don't you go first, then Sherilyn, please give your response.
Well, Getting to Done is a collaborative of life skill educators that focus on different areas of, let's say, communication. There's digital literacy and digital safety. We have clubs on, and they're clubs that meet once a month, and each club has really its own focus. It could be on parenting teens, parenting younger children. And then ours is Getting to Done, which has to do with personal productivity and organization. And so we meet once a month and by phone, conference call. And we also have a private Facebook group where we connect as well. So we're really created a community of folks really wanting to help themselves in getting to done with their personal productivity and organization and things that kind of really impact their day-to-day life.
Mitzi, you've put it so well. And, you know, this is a very special club because that organization life skill, you know, under that category of organization relates not just what you do with your time and how you utilize that, but it's also goal setting and priorities, really recognizing what's important to you. So the Getting to Done curriculum is really, as Mitzi said, designed to help you increase your personal productivity and organization so that you have more time for what's really important to you.
Okay, very good. Now, is there any other coaching network set up like the one that you have there at Yeah, that game in the country?
Well, we're really thrilled that Yeah, that game has sprung from the Parenting 2.0 initiative, and that is a social consciousness movement that advocates for proactive education for life skills. And we have coaches who are participating and teaching and sharing with regard to the curriculum in the Yeah, That Game collaborative that are all over the world. So for this particular group, we happen to be based in the United States. Mitzi's in the Boston area. I'm in the Los Angeles area. And we're just very, very excited that we're able to support basically anyone who is desiring to learn to improve those life skills, to become more competent and achieve mastery in that organization life skill, to be able to get there.
Exactly. We've got a club on diversity that one of our members is in Hawaii. We've got other people like in Australia doing different clubs. So it's, I don't think there is anything like this in the world, the way we've come together as this type of collaboration.
I didn't think so. And I was just about to say, isn't it wonderful the times that we're living in and the things that we can do with the technology that's available to us today. We can make all of these things and this information and this knowledge and these skills available to masses of people wherever they are if they have access to the technology. Now, as you mentioned, your curriculum involves more than just organization or time management. It's a very broad and diverse curriculum that covers a lot of things, but many of them are related. So focusing on the time management element, why is it that we never seem to have enough time, Mitzi?
Well, before we even get to that, which I will answer,
Okay. There's
a misnomer or a myth that there is something that we can do, which is manage time. So I don't really believe that there is time management or that we can manage time, because we can't speed it up, we can't slow it down, and we certainly can't stop it. So it's something that we actually cannot control. But what I look at is that we can control ourselves and how we approach different situations in work or in our personal lives. And so when I do my workshops or my coaching, I always talk to my clients in terms of self-management, because we can manage ourselves, but time is something that just is something that's not manageable, because it's just sort of an elusive intangible. So we're looking at our managing ourselves and then our reactions. And so why don't we have enough time? Is that what you were asking? Why we seem to not have enough time? It's
yes.
Kind of interesting, because there are like 168 hours in a week, and some people seem to be able to do more with their time than other folks. And a lot of it is attributable to the fact that people don't plan or think through what is it they really want to be doing. And to be able to block time out for the things that might be fun, or to block time out for things that might be, you know, the priorities at work, they're not really thinking through what needs to happen. And so it makes it really difficult to get what you want to get done when you're not really looking and thinking through, how can I plan better? How do I calendar manage better, you know, manage my calendar better? And so we tend to then, sometimes we feel like we're wasting a lot of time, or we didn't get the things done that we really wanted to get done.
Okay. You know, it's real interesting because there was a report that I was going to mention by the University of Georgia Cooperative Extension, and there are many reports on this, but this is one that I selected that I thought was really interesting. And it agrees totally with what you just said and kind of puts things into perspective. And it says that we only get 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, or 86,400 seconds each day. How we use that time depends on skills learned through self-analysis, planning, evaluation, and self-control. So basically, that's kind of an agreement with what you said, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, because we make decisions whether we're going to go and answer our email as soon as something bings and and a cell phone goes off, or you know, we get notified about something. Do we focus and stay working on what we had intended to get done, or that our manager needs, or do we stop and then get unfocused on that and go to something else so that our time becomes really pretty fractured? And it takes a lot to get back to where we were when we stopped. So it has a lot to do with self-control, or really self-management, in making those decisions on what you're going to do, or turning off all those dingers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then once we make those decisions, I just wanted to chime in about recognizing that it's up to us to take that personal responsibility for what we accomplish over the course of the day. And it could be real easy to just, point the finger and blame the boss. Oh, you know, they kept me late here, and, you know, that's why I had to stay. But, you know, recognizing that may happen from time to time. But when it becomes a habit, when it's a recurring pattern, and it's something that we want to change, it's up to us to take responsibility for, first of all, identifying what it is that we want, and then planning and taking those steps to make it happen.
Okay, very good. Now, Missy, what are some examples, and I guess we should replace time management with self-management to be more accurate, but what are some examples of poor self-management and some of the problems that may occur in a person's life as a result of that?
Well, some areas of self-management that can be difficult are what I alluded to before is reacting to situations without really thinking first. Sometimes it's saying yes to things that really should be said no to, and not knowing how to say no to somebody, and then becoming overcommitted. And many times it's if somebody interrupts and saying, oh, do you have a minute? It's giving them that minute in that moment, which seems like a nice thing to do. But I've had clients who have been so nice that at the end of the day, they're the ones sitting there working way past the time where everyone else has gone home, including those people who had interrupted them and needed their help with something. So a lot of times what can happen is we miss deadlines, or we are not getting things done in a timely way, so that our credibility is really at stake. And then when we are not doing what we should be doing, and our manager or we miss an event and our family is disappointed in us, we start to not only lose our credibility, but we also start to lose our own confidence in ourselves. And we kind of start feeling badly and stressed, and that can lead to being really frustrated. So there's a whole lot that can happen when you're not really taking charge of your day, really looking at how you can plan your day better and to be more focused to get the things done that need to get done.
Absolutely. And then when there is that kind of stress and strain from missing deadlines, from missing events, it strains the relationships that are involved as well. And recognizing that as it affects someone's self-confidence, sometimes, you know, those negative thoughts tend to come up and be more prevalent, and people can even start to self-sabotage themselves, kind of giving up before they've actually taken on, a real shot at that self-management. So it's a tailspin that Mitzi has been describing that can really take someone out, and our intention is to put a stop to that tailspin and help people pull up out of that at whatever point in the process they're at, to be able to learn proactive organization and productivity skills that can support them in regaining that credibility, regaining those great relationships and that self-confidence and fulfillment.
Okay, thank you very much. So we see that that lack of self-management can result in affecting a person's career, their family life, their relationship with others, and even themselves, right? Is that what you were saying?
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, very good. Well, we're going to take a break right now for a few announcements, and when we come back, I'd like to get your recommendations on how a person can do a self-eval to see just where they are in line with making sure that they're in control of their time and their life, and they can avoid some of these situations we just talked about. This is Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, and we'll be right back after these messages.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Donnell Edwards Viewpoints, and our topic for discussion is the secret to better time management or better self-management and a happier life. And our special guests are Ms. Mitzi Weinman and Ms. Sherilyn Pang-Lukey. And we want to hear your viewpoint. So call us at 563-999-3660. And we will gladly take your question or your comment. That number to call again is 563-999-3660. When you call in, you will automatically go into our phone queue. So just hold on the line, and we will get to your call. Now, as I mentioned before we left, what recommendations would you make to those who are listening to take a self-eval to just see where they are, if they're really in control or if there's some area that they need to give attention, especially if they find that they don't have enough time to get things, important things done in their life?
Well, one of the ways to do a self-evaluation is to ask, they should ask themselves, you know, at the end of the day, am I really satisfied with the work that I got done? Did I do what I set out to do? Are my goals aligned with the actual work that I'm doing? So you start to see if, am I feeling really stressed about some of the smaller things that are just not getting done as well. Am I utilizing, if you're a manager or a leader, am I utilizing my staff, or am I doing things that my staff should do? So you start asking those types of questions and asking, you know, it really is, you know, taking a real introspective look at how you're really feeling about and how you're being measured, especially at work, how you're being measured on your performance. And so that's a way to start doing some of that introspection to see if you are really, if you are really doing the right type of planning. Are you creating a focused day? Are you getting the priorities that need to get done, completed, or worked on? And do you feel accomplished at the end of the day? I know we can always do more. We always feel like we can do more. But are you getting really the things that need to get done? Are you feeding your energy because you've been able to accomplish the things that you set out to do and feeling like at the end of the day, wow, this was really pretty good day. I did a lot here, and I did a lot of really good high-priority work.
Absolutely. And I think that that is our aim, is to bring our clients to that place of having that satisfaction, that fulfillment, and have that consistently. And another aspect of self-evaluation is your productivity, your assessment of your productivity is going to show up in your emotions as well. You know, it'll show up emotionally, it'll show up physically as well, not just in the quantity or quality of tasks, but also sometimes clients may have guilt from procrastinating on some things. Maybe there was something that needed to get done, and the rationale, the justification for putting it off may have come up, but, you know, there might be some, you know, restless nights or some insomnia. You know, what keeps you awake at night might show up as how you evaluate yourself. Also, you know, physically, you might start to bear the effects of that kind of stress, of your lack of productivity, lack of self-management. That can often turn up as stress manifests in your body. So absolutely, looking at the accomplishments strategically as well as, from a holistic point of view to evaluate yourself.
Okay, very good. So we see that there's a lot of different things that are involved in assessing where we are in regard to controlling our time and our actions and the benefits and results that can be derived from that. Now, I wanted to ask, too, I'm hearing from some of the comments that you've made that it may be that certain personality types may struggle more with taking control of this self-management than others do. Would that be accurate, an accurate evaluation?
Well, Donnell, I appreciate your asking that, because I have actually heard that sometimes personality can be a factor in managing ourselves. And as part of the Parenting 2.0 movement, what we are looking toward is, instead of necessarily personality or behaviors, we're looking at an educational model. Life skills, like the life skill of organization, are skills that every human being learns and they use throughout their lifetime. So, for example, every human being eats and sleeps, don't they? So they do. So personal care would be an example of the life skill that, you know, we recognize how well we're eating or how well we're sleeping. That is a personal care life skill. Same thing with communication skills and social skills. And, you know, things like the tragedy that's happened in Las Vegas, you know, we could label the person who was responsible for all of that, we could label them as this or that. But at the same time, when we can look more broadly from an educational model and say, wow, the life skills that they learned were really not serving them. That was, you know, a very impoverished way of, you know, cultivating those social skills, those communication skills. So from the perspective of life skills education, we're all about life skills literacy and mastery as opposed to labels. So, you know, it's all about literacy, not labels. And we want to empower all of your listeners to recognize that no matter what personality they are, no matter what challenges they have, life skills education, for example, the organization skill that we're teaching through Getting to Done, you know, life skills, as they learn them, they are growing, they're able to make a change in their lives, and so there is always hope.
Okay, very good. Now, we're going to take another break right here, and when we come back, we want to talk about the role that organization plays in self-management. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes when we return.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor, middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to Donnell Edwards' Viewpoints, and our topic for discussion is the secret to better life management and a happier life. And our special guests are Ms. Mitzi Weinman and Sherilyn Pang Lucky. We want to hear your viewpoint, so call us at 563-999-3660, and we'll gladly take your question or your comment. That number to call again is 563-999-3660. When you call in, be aware that you will automatically go into our phone queue, so just hold on the line, and we will get to your call. Now, going back to our conversation, Mitzi, would you tell us how organization, and we mentioned organization at the outset of the program, how does being well organized fit into making things easier and more productive and more effective in one's life?
Well, if you're are you talking about organization as far as like paper and clutter? Or
go ahead.
Or time and that whole planning piece of it? Or
both.
Okay. So so when you're planning, it's really helpful to know what it is that you need to do, and then also when are you going to do it. So you start looking at your tasks, and you start asking what do I need to do, what are my to-dos, when am I going to do it, and you start to get a better idea of how you're going to get something done. With regard to organization, the whole organization as sort of that umbrella. When you're organized, and I have to tell you, growing up, my father put a sign on my bedroom door that read, "Cleanliness is next to godliness. Welcome to the gates of hell." Yes, because I was not very well organized, and I was someone who just didn't hang up my clothes. I was just, you know, organization just kind of eluded me, as well as I didn't do things on a timely basis. I always put things off to the last minute. And what that ended up doing was causing an awful lot of stress. And so organization, knowing where things are, let's say papers and, you know, your paper, and not having clutter around you, to be able to have a filing system. And, yes, paper still exists. We're not paperless yet. But having a paper system where you can find things that you need when you need them, as opposed to having to go through lots and lots of piles or not know where you filed something because you don't remember what you called it. All of those things, you know, if you don't have a good system for organization, it eats up time. And, you know, that's one thing, and you end up wasting an awful lot of time either looking for things or not knowing what you need to do next because you haven't really thought through or planned your day. So it really is, it's something that's so, so important, and it's a life skill that, you know, doesn't always get taught in a way that's really practical for day-to-day living. And so it's something that allows us to do all these other things that we want to be able to do. It gives us the time to, when we're better organized, to be able to go and do the exercise that we want to do, or the physical activity, or to do volunteer work, or to do spend time with friends and to do things in our community. And when we don't have it together as organized or well planned, we end up not being able to do those things that are really important to making us who we are.
Okay, very good. Now, if someone did not grow up in a family like yours that had parents that were exacting about how things were supposed to be done and taught them some of the skills that they needed to become better organized, if a person just grew up being allowed to be disorganized, how do they go about overcoming that as an adult?
Well, that's a really empowering question to ask, because, Donnell, as we know, the primary way we learn life skills like organization is from our parents. And oftentimes our parents were never formally educated themselves in those different life skills. And for them to be our primary educators, our primary teachers, kind of communicates that, wow, this is a very outdated model for us to be learning life skills. You know, life skills that we are needing now are very, very complex, and actually they always have been. In certain aspects of communication and social skills have been very complex. But, you know, to give you an example, you know, for organization skills, you know, I love when Mitzi shares that that example of her being chastised with that note, because we don't always get that, you know, tender, loving education and that, you know, the best ways of learning it. We don't always get that from our parents. And so it just illustrates that our existing life skills educational process is woefully inadequate for the demands of the present day. And, you know, one of the goals of YeahThatGame.com and our life skills educating club, you know, proactive life skills education clubs, is really to have everyone throughout their entire lives to continue learning, right? To not just take what our parents give us, right? But throughout our entire lives to keep learning those life skills, especially before crisis comes up in our lives and we just end up doing what we've always done, right? So, you know, to give you an example, that parents who don't, you know, play the piano but want their kids to play the piano, they would invite a third-party educator to teach their kids piano. And so for the first thing we need to do is just recognize that our life skills need improvement, and to go out of our, you know, comfort zone and tap into third-party education for life skills, like the different clubs that Yeah That Game is hosting on organization, on digital literacy, on raising teens, and so forth.
Well, okay. I also think that one of the things is in my house, when we would have company, my father would take, my mother was an accountant and had all her stuff strewn all over the dining room table and all over the living room tables. And he'd take all of her stuff and he'd put it in paper bags and then put it and hide it behind the couch so that when company came, our house looked really neat and picked up. And so I was never really taught how to organize myself. But I recognized when I went off to college that I was lacking some skills that I needed, and I became more self-taught in that. But now what's great is there are folks, like Sherlyn said, who are there to help people learn these skills, and we have, you know, there are coaches helping managers and leaders to really be able to work with their staff better. There are people out there who are helping people with their clutter and their paper and be able to develop systems. But first, it does come from recognizing that there's something not working that you want to work better for you, and being able to either ask for help or to find a way to, you know, even through books, to say, wait a minute, let me do something differently than I'm doing now, because I could keep doing the same old, you know, insanity is doing the same old thing over and over again, but expecting different results. But if you're not, so you have to do something different and recognize that.
Yeah, and it is a learning model, because we're not going to cast any judgment. Everyone's is starting wherever they're starting. And so this is all about learning and literacy and eventually mastery, as opposed to labels.
Okay. So what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is the issue is not necessarily not being aware that there is a problem, but wanting to do something about the problem once you recognize it. Or it may be that a person is going through this cycle over and over and over again and never stopping to realize or stopping to evaluate or analyze what may be causing it. Is that correct?
Exactly.
That is. And it's also the aspect of, you know, we expect parents to be like superhuman, right? We expect parents to be capable of ultra-high competency in every single life skill arena. You know, even things like digital safety, which didn't exist when we were kids, you know? That's like a whole new, you know, a whole new ball game, and it's a challenge to just keep up with all of the changes in technology, and then there's something new, and then there's Snapchat, and then there's this and that. So it's an ongoing model of learning, and when we can stop... when we can come to the point where parents are not our sole educators in life skills, that we can learn from other educators, such as in the YeahThatGame.com coaching collaborative, it supports ongoing learning throughout everyone's lives, and then we can pass that higher level of competency onto our kids. But we don't do it just spontaneously. We do it by learning.
Okay. I want to shift to another important issue here in regard to this, and that is the family. We kind of touched on this a little bit already, but today in most families, there is at least one parent who is working. In a lot of families now, both parents work, and then the children have activities. And a lot of times the members of the family only meet each other in passing, maybe on the way out to school or to work or coming back in from school or work. And the lack of a balance between the work and the family, going too far to say that can cause the family to implode? Because there's very little communication. Nobody knows what anybody else is doing. Nobody seems to be interested in what anybody else is doing. And so members of the family begin to feel like they're on an island all by themselves.
Well, I think that, I don't know if the family will implode, but I think there are things that a family can do to help with that, the area of really that communication with each other, because I think it really revolves around communication. And it's also really looking at what do you want your family life to look like. I actually, here's another thing, you're going to find me very irritating, I think, because I don't call that, you know, work-life balance, because I don't think there is such a thing as work-life balance. Work is life and life is work, and we don't want them really, I don't think we really want them balanced. But we really look at how we're committing ourselves and our schedules and the schedules of our children in what, and after school activities or committees that we're on. But it's really looking at how do we have that kind of family life that we want, where we are spending time together, making that a priority, even if it's having one or two meals a week together, a dinner together, where the health benefits of mealtime are so, they've been written about, you know, with helping with communication skills, with health skills, with nutrition, with communication. There's so many health benefits to spending that time together. But it's actually sitting down and really mapping out the calendar and the commitments and looking for that time where there are not things planned, and seeing what you want to be able to do as a family and really starting to have that quality time with each other. And so it's also communicating who needs to be doing what and picking up and dropping off and making sure that there's at least a family meeting, or where if there's a spouse or partner, or if there is involved, that there's a time at least once a week where they're sitting down and kind of reviewing the calendar and reviewing what's happening day to day and who has to be where. And it really does all revolve around communication.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Having that communication and the clarity that, you know, about what it is that you want with regard to your home life, with regard to your relationships, with regard to your, you know, your productivity, being intentional about creating that is absolutely key. And I would say another aspect that we recently touched on in the Getting to Done curriculum was overscheduling. And right now there might be in the course of, you know, average everyday life a feeling that, oh, we need to do everything, we need to keep up with this, we need to keep up with that, and just recognizing that you want to make sure that your intentions are met with regard to your schedule. And if there's something that you can decommit from, or if there's something that you absolutely want to say a resounding yes to, or if there's something that you need to say no to that's going to eat up your time and you're not passionate about it, just being really clear about you know, what it is that you are going to commit to. I just wanted to add a funny story. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I saw two parents and you know, a child come in, and both of the parents were on their cell phones. And when they sat down at their booth, the parents still were on their cell phones, scrolling away, you know, with their heads down into their devices, and the child was just sitting there wondering, okay, now what? And so, you know, just recognizing that part of those goals that you communicate can include those special times where you might put away the devices for, you know, from this time to that time. You might have that ritual or that routine that comes up at a certain time, you know, a couple of times a week or maybe every night, so that you can have that structure, so that you can be more present and, you know, really connect with your family members.
Okay, very good. Going back, I wanted to make sure that everyone understood when I used the term work-life balance. Maybe that was a poor choice of words, but I didn't mean that there would be a 50-50 balance between work and life, only that there would be adequate time for a healthy family relationship and adequate time for taking care of one's career. But if I understood what you said correctly in addressing that, the best thing to do would be to sit down, take the calendar, and plan, instead of allowing things to happen just by accident or not happen at all. Is that what you were recommending?
It is, and we actually did a program. We called it decaf. We're calling it decaf living, which is bucking. I know has nothing to do with coffee either. But decaf living is really making intentional choices not to max out the schedule and the calendar and to buck the trend of always feeling like you have to be busy. And so it's exactly what, you know, with the calendar. And the whole idea of really the term work-life balance, I know you might not have meant, you know, the 50-50. It's used so much, you know, work-life balance. And really what people, I think, are looking for are is to have a decaf life, but also have quality time with outside of work, with family, friends, or themselves, even to just do some self-care, take care of themselves, go, you know, sit in a park, read a book, you know, be able to just take a walk and to just be able to take care of themselves. But it all revolves around, and as Sherlyn and I have been doing our Getting to Done, we find that it all revolves so much around the calendar and really that planning. It's so important, and you can't, and you don't want to get away from it. Not that you have to plan every moment of your life, but it's such a tool to help really get you where you want to go. And so you are right. Yes, the calendar.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to come back in just a few moments, and one of the things we're going to do when we get back is provide you with some strategies for time management or self-management, and we will do that after these messages.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor Middle School? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining our discussion this evening with our guests, Ms. Mitzi Weinman and Ms. Sherlyn Pang-Lutke. And we want to get right into some strategies for time management or self-management. At the beginning of tonight's program, I mentioned the report on time management from the University of Georgia Cooperative Extension, and here is their list of 10 strategies for better time management. Number one, know how you spend your time, and they suggest keeping a log. Number two, set priorities. Number three, use a planning tool. Number four, get organized, which we've been discussing this evening. Number five, schedule your time appropriately. Number six, delegate. Get help from others. Number seven, stop procrastinating. Number eight, manage external time wasters. And this was interesting. There's actually 5 different items under this, and they include the telephone, unexpected visitors, meetings, mail and email, and family obligations. And number nine, avoid multitasking. And number 10, stay healthy. Now, Mitzi and Sherlyn, is this a good list of strategies for better time management or self-management? And are there any items on this list that really stand out as key strategies that you would recommend?
Yes. So mm-hmm. I would say that there are a couple of key strategies, and there's a couple that I would, one especially that I would just probably avoid. But I think key strategy is planning your day. It's knowing what you need to do, but the idea of just knowing what your tasks are. You don't want to just make to-do lists. You don't want to just have a long laundry list of things that you need to do or tasks, but you also have to ask yourself, when am I going to work on those things? So you try to break your task down into small, bite-sized, doable pieces and ask yourself, when am I going to do those? And then you want to put them into a planner system. So whether you're using Outlook or Google Calendar or using a Franklin Covey planner, whatever it is, you know, that's paper-based or electronic, you get the actions in as to when you're going to do them, not the deadline, but when you're going to work on those things. And then that is how you start to plan your day. And one of the key things of planning your day and being really productive is to start your day off doing a high priority or doing the high priority item or something that is really a difficult task. And when you start to do that, you really jumpstart your day and you feed your energy and you're working on things that are really, you're working on something that's really important. And so it really makes a difference in your productivity. You are really on top of your game. And so it's that planning, it's getting it into a planning system, like I said, like Google Calendar, Outlook, those tasks, and then or paper planner, and then executing those things through understanding what your highest priority is by saying, if I'm only allowed to do one thing today and one thing only, what would that one thing be? And that would be your priority. And then you go to the next thing. If I'm allowed to do one more thing and one thing only, what would that one thing be? Working higher priority to lower priority. When you're working higher priority to lower priority and you're doing less important things later in your day, it makes it a whole lot easier to go home at the end of the day because you're not working on something that you waited till 4, 4:30 or 5 to start and then feel like you cannot stop it. So it's... So those are a couple of things from that list that I think are really, really good.
Absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And Mitzi, I just wanted to say that, you know, the work that you do with timefinder.net is just so powerful because one of the things that you train over and over and over again is to have tasks in your calendar that are very specific so that with that specificity, it's not just newsletter or not just marketing, but it's specifically an item, write 3 articles to be, and then schedule them to be sent out. You know, something very, very specific so that you can decide when someone asks you to give up that block of time for something that's important to them, you can decide whether to hold that line or whether that gets moved to some other time slot.
Well, that's one. Thank you, Sherlyn. Well, that was one of the reasons why when people are blocking out time, they tend to give it away so easily because they don't have something really specific or milestone that they want to accomplish in that block of time. They usually see something in that block of time that says project, clean my office, clean out garage. But if you're really specific with smaller tasks and milestones and you see that actually appear in your calendar when you're looking at your screen, all of a sudden if somebody wants you to do something in that block, you're looking and saying, oh, wait a minute, that's going to really impact my project because I need to get these 2 tasks done in order for this project to move forward. So you're less likely to give up that time because you're blocked, it's blocked specifically for milestones and you see it. So it's credible to you. It's real. It's not just project.
Thank you for that. And I wanted to ask one question. A couple of questions, Missy. You mentioned there was one thing on the list you would avoid. You mind telling us what that was?
Yeah, the whole taking the inventory of your time and logging, you know, kind of figuring out where your time is going, that is for a lot of people to be able to sit there and to do that, and it was the first thing that was mentioned, it's very tedious. And so I would rather people start to look at how they're planning their day and prioritizing versus taking that whole inventory of where they're spending their time. You know, that could be maybe at the way bottom. You know, I know it's not in order of the most important things when they listed it, but I think that if you start, if I were to ask a client to do that, they would, it would be the thing they would procrastinate because it's just a pain in, kind of a pain in the neck to do. so and I want people to move forward and not kind of get sort of stuck. And if I asked, I don't know, Donnell, if I asked you to do that, would that be something you would relish and wrap your arms around and say, wow, yay, I can't wait to do that?
No.
All right, we're in agreement. So you know, so we'll take that one off the list. We'll take that one off the list.
Okay. Good. Now,
yeah, we don't want the first step to be an obstacle. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. One other thing I wanted to ask, based on what you were saying about prioritizing and, you know, blocking off time, how far out should a person do that? Just on a daily basis, or should they plan for a week? Or what would be the best method in order to be most effective?
Well, I think it depends upon what somebody does, you know, and I think you should be able to plan out as far ahead as you can and be able to, if you know you've got vacation coming up and it's in July, and I know now we're in October, you still should have that blocked out. You know, it's, but the planning, so I suggest that people plan at the end of the day and take less than 5 minutes, but look ahead in their calendar at least 2 to 3 weeks, at least 2 to 3 weeks, and start getting those tasks into whatever device you're using by looking at, do you have any meetings coming up? What do you need to do to prepare for those? I think the skill of anticipation, when I do workshops, I carry a 9-pound crystal ball with me because you think you can anticipate, you can look forward and into the future. And so you want to start getting those tasks in your planner when you know that they exist. Because the more you can get out there onto your planner, you know, or Outlook or Google Calendar, whatever you're using, the less you're keeping in your head. And when you keep the stuff in your head, then that's what causes stress. And that's what that's one of the causes of stress. It wakes you up in the middle of the night. Then you have to take notes to yourself or leave yourself a voicemail or whatever. So look ahead as far as you can. Look at what your obligations are. And then ask yourself, what do I need to do to prepare for whatever that is? And you start getting those tasks in there as far out as you can.
Okay,
you could
very
even
good.
Start doing that now for the holidays. You could start looking and saying, okay, well, when am I going to start to make my, you know, if you celebrate any holidays, my gift list, or for Thanksgiving, you could start saying, oh, when am I going to start even doing my shopping? You could start blocking out, figuring out when that's going to be now.
Yeah, okay. And that's what we help our Getting to Done Club with, because we tend to look at things a lot earlier than maybe most people would.
Okay. In conclusion, what advice do you both have for our audience?
Do you want to go, Sherlyn, first?
Yeah, that's a huge question. I would start out with being clear about what you want to create in your life. Have a vision for what you want to create with your family, with your work or career, and be willing to plan that out so that you can achieve it.
Okay.
And I would say that to really look at the planning that you're doing, because that will help you stay focused on the things that are important to you in your life, whether it's your community, your friends, your family, yourself, or work, that the planning that you do will keep you focused on what's important to you. So really embrace the planning. Some people have a kind of tendency to shy away from it or to think, oh, it's, you know, I'm just kind of pigeonholing myself in. It really is so freeing, and it really does help reduce stress. So planning to stay focused on your priorities.
Okay. Thank you both so much. And Missy and Sherlyn, we thank you for being our guest tonight on Donnell Edwards Viewpoints. And we appreciate you sharing with us your vast knowledge of time management and organization. We want our listeners to know that they may listen to Missy and Shirley-Ann and their program, Getting to Done, on yahthatgame.com. We also thank you, our listeners, for listening and for being with us. And we remind you that you may listen to this program and all of our previous programs on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/D, that's as in dog, D-O-N-E-D, D-I-E-W-P-O-I-N-T-S. That's blogtalkradio.com/DONED viewpoints. And also mark your calendars for October 16th and October 17th. Those are the dates for the official launch of our new CWR Talk Network, which is dedicated to social causes, major issues, and life dynamics. You may learn more about the new network at our website. That's CWRTalkNetwork.com. That's CWRTalkNetwork.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great night and a fantastic week.